I heard about this scientist. One day he was in his lab and he started talking to God and he said, you know what, God, we don't really need you anymore in our life. Because after all, we can create robots. We've sent people to go to the moon. We have advanced technology, Samsung phones, iPhones, all these different things. We don't really need you. And so God said, okay. In fact, the scientist challenged God, let's have a man-making contest. And God said, bring it on, right? And then the scientist basically bent over and started to pick up the dirt. And God said, oh, wait a minute, dude. Get your own dirt. All right, some of us are awake. Are you guys? Are you ready to receive God's word? Yes? God created them male and female so that the man will leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. And this is the sacrament of holy matrimony. And for all of those of you that are married, it raises the question, what is a couple called to in the sacrament of marriage? And the answer applies to all of us. We are all called, by virtue of our baptism, to live a life of holiness. If you're sitting here thinking, well, what does it mean to be holy? I could sum it up in one word, in one sentence. Holy comes from the word, Hebrew word, hesed, which means to be radically obedient to God's will. And that's the hard part, because we have our will, and then there's God's will. So in the Christian marriage, God instituted this because in it is the primary of human relationships, where all society depends upon this kind of relationship, where it ought to be the sweetest, the holiest, and whose integrity has to be protected. And in a Christian marriage, it consists of a mother and a father, and if the couple is blessed, children. So today, with that background, I want to talk to all of you, even the confirmation students that are here. I want to share with you how you can make your life, not just your married life, but even in your family relationships, or even in your friendships, how you can have more peace, how you can have more joy, and how you can live a holy life. And the way you can do that is understanding the love language of another person. One of the things that I've seen is men and women are created differently, right? And these are all generalizations. I'm not speaking in absolute terms. There's always an exception to the rule. But generally, men, we think with our brains, right? Women, generally, they think with their emotion. Men, they want the facts, right? Women, they want details. It's for that reason, if for those of you that have been married, when your wife asks you, how was your work? How was your... Most men will say, oh, it's fine. One word, right? Who did you talk to? No one. No, get out of the way. I need to watch TV, right? Give me a beer, you know? No, that's, you have to, and one of the things that I've learned is, one of the biggest mistakes we can make is giving some person, another person, what we need instead of giving them what they need. See, when Jesus was on earth, he went around and asked people, what is your need? What do you want me to do for you? Notice that Jesus could have just read their minds because he's God, but he asked them. So for example, the man who was blind, Jesus went up to him and he said, what do you want me to do for you? And the man said, give me sight. And he gave him sight, right? And for the people that couldn't hear, what do you want me to do for you? I want to be able to hear. And he said, Ephatha, let your ears be open. And when Lazarus died, right, Martha wanted him, her brother to be raised from the dead. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So what I'm saying is this. For some of you, for those of you that are married, in order for you to experience that holiness or that joy in your life, you need to know the love language of your spouse and also of your children. So for example, maybe you live with someone that need words of encouragement, right? Maybe they just need to hear, you know what? I believe in you. I know that didn't work out for you. That game didn't work out or you lost in that game, but you can still do it. Or maybe you live with someone, your spouse, that is very secure. Maybe their love language, in order for them to feel love, is for you, for the men that are here, to buy a bouquet of flowers, right? Maybe you might think, well, Father Francis, you know what? I'm just not that romantic, you know? I'm not that kind of guy. For those of you that are thinking that, here's what I have to tell you. Once again, it's not about you. It's serving the needs of another person in order for you to have that joy and peace in your life. I think for the young people here, right? You guys, for those of you that got married, Think back in the time when you were first dating each other, right? When you were first dating each other, especially for the guys, you did everything you can to tell your girlfriend, oh, you look beautiful, you're gorgeous, and you did everything you can to really win her over. But let me ask you this question, and you don't have to raise your hand for the men that are married here. When was the last time you got up in the morning, looked at your wife and said, you know what? There are many beautiful women out there, but you're the most beautiful of them all. I'm not going to make eye contact, right? So, and you might think, you know what, Father Francis, you're not married to my wife. If you were, you would not say that, right? But the point is this. If you're not building up your wife, if you're putting her down, oh, you didn't do this well, the food isn't good, blah, 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 this and that. Well, don't be surprised if your wife doesn't support you. Before she can support you, you have to be able to build her up. And you got to understand with women, there is a 24-hour grace period. You know, women want to be told, hey, you look good. Or I remember with my mom, you know, she would have her hair done, and then she would like, for my brothers, because my dad had passed away, and they'd be like, ta-da, and my brothers are like, hey, what's up, mom? And it's like, really? No one even noticed. You know, and maybe you're saying, you know what, I already told my wife last year that she was beautiful. No, you got to renew it every day. You got to be able to tell her, you know what, you look good, and I'm so happy that I'm married to you. Another thing is this, right? I remember talking to a guy a couple years ago, and he was all stressed out, and he said, you know, I don't get my wife. I work over 60 hours, and I just bought her a new car, I bought her a new dress, and I got her a new necklace. I'm like, that's awesome. And then he said, but she's still upset. And I said, well, did you ask her what she needed? And he said, I don't get it. She says, we don't ever spend enough time. And I'm like, dude, duh. You could buy her 5 cars, you could buy her 5 dresses. Her love language is that you need to spend more time with her. So for those of you that are married, if you hear your spouse telling you, you're never at the house, you never spend time with me, that's her way of saying to you, I need more attention. I need you to spend time with me, just you and I, quality time. And if you want that holiness, if you want that joy in your family, and if you have especially younger kids, next time, this is what you ought to do. You know what, honey, when she comes home from work, or when you come from work, I took care of the babysitters, you and I are going to go on a date. Just you and me, that's right. See, you might think, you know what, what's the big deal about that? When you do these little gestures, right, that can do magic in your life. Now, for all the confirmation kids that are here, you guys are not free from my homily. You're like, how is he going to turn it around? I'm not married. This doesn't apply to me. I could watch TV in my head now. No. Welcome to this mass. I know a lot of you young folks, there's a lot of pressure in our society, right? Especially when it comes to marriage and sexuality. And I see a lot of beautiful young women right here. You need and ought to understand the true meaning of sexuality, right? Our society says, you know what, like that playboy mentality. If you feel like it, just do it. It doesn't matter what the church says. And so the church has been attacked, right? Well, the church doesn't understand. I love this person. I'm in love with this person. I remember a couple of months ago, I was talking to this young lady, and she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so heartbroken. And I'm like, what happened? I thought I loved this person, and he was my boyfriend, and I gave myself to him. And then after 2 years, we broke up. See, that's what happens. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. A boy, a young kid might tell you, hey, if you really love me, you know, you'll do stuff. Don't listen to him. If they keep telling you that, let him talk to me, you know, and I'll take care of that. Or talk to your dads, you know. I'm just saying, do not be fooled and deceived. Just because you think you feel it doesn't make it right, because you can be deceived in your mind. You have to understand the way God sees sexuality is something so beautiful and is something so sacred that you have and you should wait in marriage. This is what happens, that girl that I talked to. She thought she loved the guy. She gave herself completely, but because there's no commitment, it's outside of marriage, the guy can walk away anytime. So, guy, you got to think smart too. Look, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. You got to be able to tell other guys that tell you things, if you truly love me, I'm worth waiting for. And then when you say that, then you'll really know what that guy is made of. And if you say to yourself, well, Father Francis, if I do that, then I'm not going to have any boyfriend or nobody's going to like me. You know what? That's not that bad. What you ought to pray for is this. Jesus, I want you to send me a person that will respect me for who I am. I want you to send someone that will respect my values, that will wait for me because I am worth waiting for. So all the young ladies that are here, I want you to understand your worth. You are God's treasure, and don't let any young man deceive you into thinking, you know what, you don't have to wait. Don't listen to Father Francis. I'll take care of that. No, don't listen to that. And for all the ladies that are here as well, right, I got to be equal opportunity, right? First, I was talking to the men. You know, a lot of times, we can have, the ladies, you know, can have unrealistic expectations. I heard about this couple that wrote a book, Every Secret That a Woman Should Know in Marriage. And in the book, there's this couple that, who wrote the book named Greg and Shannon Etheridge. And Shannon, at one point in her marriage, she was so frustrated because she felt that her husband was not fulfilling all of her emotional needs. So after a couple years, she was actually ready to divorce him. She went up to him and she said, you know what, Greg? I'm done. You can't meet my emotional needs, and you don't meet them. And this is how Greg responded, and I quote. He said, you know what, Shannon? You have a Grand Canyon of emotional needs, right? And it sounds harsh. And then he said, even if I were to work 24/7, I could never fulfill your needs because they're impossible. And then he paused. And then he said, until you understand that only God can fulfill some of those needs, then our relationship can never work out. You know, at first that was hard for Shannon to hear that, but then she realized that he was right. She realized that she had these unmet emotional needs from her past, and so she sought counseling, and she also turned to God to fulfill some of her needs. Why am I sharing this with you? Shannon, the author of the book, recommends for all the ladies to not have these unrealistic expectations of your husbands, right? They're not perfect, right? Only God, from both men and women, can really fulfill the deepest longings of our hearts. And the other thing is this. You know, we live in a society where, we're told that men don't have needs, don't have emotional needs. They're like robots, you know. You just do this and do that. No. One of the basic needs for men is called respect, right? When was the last time, for the women that are here, right? I'm not going to make eye contact either. When was the last time that you told your husband, you know what, honey? I am so proud that I'm married to you. I'm so proud that you're such a good husband and you're such a good father. Now, some of you ladies might say, well, Father, you don't know my husband. I'm not going to say that. That is so not true. If I said that, I would be lying. No. If you want your husband to be that loving father, then you first got to speak the words. You've heard that thing, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you keep telling your husband, you know what, you don't do well, you don't do good, then guess what? What happens with men is when their wife is not happy, they take that personally as if they have failed, right? They are the spiritual father, and so when the wife is not happy, when they feel that they have failed, what most men will do is they'll begin to shut down, and they stop communicating, right? And so what you need to do is ask yourself, what is it that makes me most happy? And once you come to recognize that, be able to convey that to your husband in order for your relationship to get better, to have more peace. And I know for some of you as well, maybe your husband, and maybe it's the other way around, but maybe your husband is not as clean. You know how when you first got married or when you're dating, the person could do no wrong. I've talked to those that are recently engaged. Oh, I love my boyfriend. Oh, I love my girlfriend. Oh, can you name anything that you dislike about them? Oh, no, nothing, Father. I mean, we're not perfect, but I can't really think of anything. Right, but here's what happens. A lot of the couples, they let the little things after they've been married for 10 years, 5, 10, 15 years, get the better of them that destroys their marriage. Maybe your husband, when he comes home, he's not as clean and he throws his dirty socks and dirty laundry on the floor, right? But instead of next time when that happens, instead of saying, how many times do I have to tell you, ugh, please pick up your dirty socks, oh, this is so annoying, instead be the bigger person and say, you know what, I'm just going to pick up the socks and then I'm going to be the peacemaker, I'm going to place it in the laundry and then just enjoy time with him. And don't say, you know, honey, I picked up your socks, I just want you to know. See, because the way you behave right now with your spouses is the way your children are learning how they're going to treat their future wife or their future husband. So, for example, if you find yourself putting your wife down, don't be surprised. Your son is learning this is how you treat women, right? And for the mothers that are here, if you're always also putting down your husband, the ladies, the young ladies that are here are learning subconsciously that this is how you treat a husband. The way you behave now is going to be a determining factor of the kind of spouses that your children will have. Show your children what it means to love. And that's what I want to end with. You know, a couple of years ago, I heard about this professor who was a president of a university, and he had been married for 50 years. And in the marriage, his wife got Alzheimer's. And at first, she would forget little things, and it wasn't really a big deal. But after a few years, she even forgot who he was. So one day, he decided to go to the university, and he called all the professors, and then he said, "You know what, guys? I've made a decision. I want to go back to my wife to take care of her full time." And then they all nodded their heads. They were like, "You're making a mistake. She doesn't even know you. You're making six figures. Why would you even do that?" And this is what the guy said: "She may not know who I am, but I know who she is. 50 years ago, I made a commitment to this woman in church. I vowed to her, to God, and to my family and friends that I will be with her, not only in the good times, but also in the bad." See, that's what true love is, right? A love that knows no bounds. I know in our society, even for the young people, that word love is overused. Oh, I love your car, I love that dress, love that hair, right? No, that's not the kind of love that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a self-sacrificial kind of love where you ask yourself, "What can I do for my mother? What can I do for my dad, for my friends, for my spouse, so that I can be a blessing to them?" A few years ago, I talked to a couple that celebrated the 25th wedding anniversary. And then I asked the lady, if you could name one thing, what is the secret to your success in your marriage?" And she said, "You know, Father Francis, at first it was difficult because we got married, we had little children, we put them in sports, we brought them to church, but we made sure in all those 25 years that we always spent 15 minutes together without fail. It could be pure silence. We would hold each other's hands. We would look into each other's eyes." And he just said, "Most importantly, we learned to pray together." And then she paused and she was like, "You know, Father, when we did this, we not only fell in love with each other, but we fell more in love with God." And that's how we end. You can do all these tools and put it into practice in your life, but if you don't have God at the center, it simply remains as a human institution. But once you include God in the center of your life, it doesn't mean you won't have challenges, it doesn't mean you won't have frustrations, but it only means that God will be the guiding force and that you will have that joy and the peace that you long for. And that's why Jesus ended this gospel. In the gospel, it ends with the children. Because when a married couple loves each other with God at the center, for those that are given that gift of children, that's where children come from. And so my prayer for all of you is, may you always have that openness to find out the love language of your spouse and your children. And may you give them not your own needs, but meet their own needs in order for God to keep your marriage and your relationships a holy and peaceful and loving relationship that He created it to be. Amen?